all carnality is up to you. That's in you. Nobody makes you carnal. They may bring it out of you, but it's in you. And I've said to someone the other day, and we're talking about carnality and things that rise up, and here's what I've discovered, that you either have, the old man never dies. Now, we talk about, you know, the old man is dead, but I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Paul said, when sin revived, I died. In other words, it wasn't dead. And so what we find here is that when sin revived, he said, I died. And so what we find here is that only one thing can be dominant and the other one must be dormant. So that if the spirit is dominant, the carnal man is dormant. He's not dead. He's dormant. And so that if carnality is dominant, the spirit is dormant. It's not dead. It's dormant. That's how come you can get renewed and refreshed in the spirit. It's not dead. It doesn't come back to life. It's just refreshed. But you either have one can only be dominant and the other one must be dormant. And Satan wants to use carnality and make it dominant and your spirit dormant, lest by any means it can be the cares, it can be get carried away with pig hunting. It doesn't matter. Anything that becomes dominant in my life and it possesses me rather than me possessing it, that's a good thought, because when I possess it, it's in captivity to me. But if it possesses me, I'm captive to it. And so, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. I told you not long ago, and I meant it, and I've rethought it, and I'll say it again. I stand the greatest chance of being lost than anybody in this church. And I don't think people fully understand when you begin to try to master a situation. They said they be in the greater condemnation, James says, because if you take this pulpit, Lord, you got responsibility I didn't have sitting out there. I have to move to a higher level lest I fall myself. And lest after I preach to others, he said, I'd be a castaway. And this is the Apostle Paul. Where does that put the Apostle Marshall? You know? Help me, Jesus. I need some help. And so I don't want to let carnality, the things of this world, be dominant in my life while my spiritual life is dormant. Means number three. Number three, complicating it. You know, you can make this way so hard, you can't live it. We can go right back under the law with all your rules and all your regulations till before long, you can't even live it. And there's somebody harder than you, I promise you. And they would condemn you. And you say, well, I don't see it that way. Well, they do. And sometimes other people don't see it your way either. And you have to understand that, lest you complicate it. Let me tell you something. How many of you ever took a math test and you look at it and you go, what? And you say, why try? It looks like Chinese to me. And you just close the book. Had they started you off with 2 + 2 and then worked up to square roots and all these kind of things and the tangent of such and such and all that, then you would have, you kind of were like, well, at least I'm getting some of them right. But if you start people off and you complicate the gospel so complicated, lest by any means you make it so hard to start with, they don't even want to try. They don't even want to try because I'll never be. Well, you've been living for God for 30, 40 years. You weren't like they were when they were, you know, when you were born in this thing either. Give them 30 or 40 years. But you complicate it because you want everybody to be at your level after all these years you've been in the church. And they can't get there probably any quicker than you did. Now, let's read the scriptures that goes along with that. 2 Corinthians 11:1. Would to God ye could hear with me a little in my folly and or bear with me a little in my folly and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste or a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, was this not the first husband and wife? I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, through his making it more complicated than it really was. Did God not say, and when she saw, and she, it was just a commandment, don't eat of this tree. That was it. That was it. Don't eat of the tree, period. That's all. But he complicated it. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I'm afraid that we complicate it so much and we get away from the basic message of death, burial, resurrection, and living a holy and righteous life unto God. And we complicate it so much that people don't even want to try. They don't understand it. And sometimes people get so complicated with something, they choose to go another way. Are you hearing me? They still want to go to heaven. They still want to, but we make it so complicated. They say, look, I should go across the street because, man, over there, you know, you can. Well, no, don't do that. Let's make it simple for you now. Who wants to go to grade school first through 12th and take 12th grade math in the first grade? You know, you work your way into this thing so that by the time you get to the 12th grade math, you know how to do it. It's not complicated. It's no more complicated than when you first started 2 plus 2. But you worked your way into this thing. So please, 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 as you work with people, stay with the simplicity wherein Christ has made us free. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, do you know there's a lot of Jesuses out there, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. And really what he's saying here, if you read all of it, don't put up with it. You might listen, you might kind of say, okay, I understand what you're saying. I don't want a conflict, but I'm not allowing it. I did not receive that. I don't know. This is not the gospel. Paul said, if an angel come from heaven that preaches any other gospel than I have preached to you, he said, let him be accursed. And so that was number three, is don't complicate it. How many of you like complicated things? I don't even want my life complicated. Sometimes it gets a little complicated, but I don't want it. I admire people. Brother Buddy's not here tonight, and he and I have been setting a pig trap, you know. And sometimes I leave my complicated job, tells a lot of complicated things, and I thank God he's helped me to make it simple because I don't see it so complicated as other people do. But anyway, it's pretty simple to me. But I run out there to meet him about this pig trap. And man, there's a peace comes over you when you go to set a pig trap. I'm telling you, you're out there in the woods. Hey, brother, let's hammer this thing in over here and throw out some corn, you know, see if we can catch that pig when he gets there. Hey, sure is a lot of pig tracks around here. And there's just such a beauty of simplicity. It's just beautiful to walk out there and there's the leaves have fallen and we're looking around for something. There's nothing complicated about it. And I'm here to tell you, living for God ought to be the same way. It ought to be the same way. Isn't it wonderful to live for God? You know, God has blessed me so much, you know. I don't know what I'd do without him, you know. And here we got to have this, the Lord told me to tell you. And we complicate it. And you're going, was that God or was that not God? Was that real tongues or was that fake stuff, you know? And you complicate, where if you just see an old lady get up and say, bless God, I wouldn't be here if it had not been for the Lord who's on my side. When the enemy rose up against me, they would have swallowed me up quick. You hear me, child? They would have swallowed me up quick. But Lord, I'm here today because Jesus Christ gave his life for me. And boy, people are like, whoo, simplicity. KISS principle, right? Keep it simple, saints. What'd y'all say? Bless God, I want. No. I might try preaching like that someday. Keep it simple. Then the last one I want to talk about that Paul spoke about, number four, lack of unity. Lack of unity.
Watch this. This is pretty good. Because you see, Paul was smarter than any of them. Paul, one place he says, I speak as a fool, and he did. Another place he kind of said, I messed up. I shouldn't have said those things. And I admire that about Paul. But he said, you want to boast? Let me tell you. And he did. But he was ahead of them in almost every way. And I'm talking about Peter and James and John. And they saw all the miracles. And here's the Apostle Paul holding the coach for those who stoned Stephen. And so Paul gets this revelation on his own. He doesn't get it from Peter. He doesn't get it from John. He gets it from God. Shows him on this road to Damascus. I mean, there's nobody witnessing to him. He's killing people. He's killing Christians. And while he's on this road to Damascus, the Lord says, why persecutest thou me? And this is what got him converted. He said, Lord, what must I do? Anytime you get open to the Lord, what must I do? You're fixing to get converted, if you really mean that. He said, okay, I'll tell you what you do. You go to one and call Ananias to Straight Street, and there he will tell you what you must do. And so he goes there, and we know he received the Holy Ghost. And so Paul gets all these revelations. Lord, I don't know. I was caught up. I knew a man one time, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but he was in the third heaven. And Lord, he saw things that he could not speak because it was not right for him to say them. And he's got things that Peter can't say. He's got things that John just never heard of. And so here he is with all this revelation, and he's getting beaten, and they leave him for dead. And the next morning, he's well. He's back teaching again. They couldn't kill him. They couldn't stop him. And all the things he went through, all the churches he was bringing in, here they are huddled up around Jerusalem. Well, who wants to serve? Let's pick somebody to say serve, and we'll just stay here in Jerusalem. And the Lord sent persecution to bust them up. But you know what? They were already going where Paul had already been. Paul was already going. But I want to show you something about him. Right here. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation. The Lord told me to do this and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. This is the second time he said, I'm worried that I don't want Satan to get one up on me. So here he is, and he says, the Lord told me to go and to communicate to these other apostles, to Peter and to John and all of this, so I don't go, well, the Lord showed me this, you know. I want to let them know that I'm preaching the same gospel you are. I'm talking about unity. Lest by any means he destroy the unity, and so that the world sees all this fussing and fighting going in church. Who wants to go to your church? You see? He said, a man's greatest foes are those of his own household. That's what he said. And a household's supposed to have the best unity. And so he goes back into those that he talks privately, those of reputation, meaning like those that have already, the apostles. And he's just like, I'm not going to make a big deal of this. I just want to let them know that God has called me to the Gentiles. These old people y'all don't want to preach to. Boy, I'm having revival over here, and I'm preaching the same message. Bless God that y'all are. Praise the Lord. Let's work together. And you'll see here in the seventh verse, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be the pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me my right hand. They gave to me Barnabas, and the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, that and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also forward to you. So what he's saying here is when they saw that I was in harmony with them, they said, take Barnabas. And Barnabas was a tremendous help to Paul. And you see what unity brings? Hey, brother, your lawnmower's broke. I can take mine. It don't matter. Take it. It ain't fine.
And when you get through mowing your grass, you can mow mine. But, you know, we just work together. I got the mower, you got the time. So we just, unity. And if lest by any means he could destroy that unity. Brother Gidros talks a lot about the family unit, and that's right. If he can destroy that family unit, brother, it's all destroyed. Because it all starts, that's what's wrong with our world, is the family unit is destroyed, so the whole world is destroyed. If he can break that unity up at the very lowest level, if you will, then it takes over everything. Lest by any means he could find some way to cause discord. You know, he said, the Bible says, and a lot of times people say, I hate people that avoid me. Well, brother, if I don't like you, I'm going to avoid you. I just might as well tell you. Because the Bible says to do that. He said, avoid them that gender strife. If I run into you and all you want to talk about is stuff that I'm just going to avoid you. Lest by any means you draw me into that and I go through the pain I went through again. It's just best I don't have no, praise the Lord, my shopping basket's going this way. Hallelujah. Avoid them that gender strife, foolish questioning, and things that end endless genealogy, you know. Lest by any means, I'm here to tell you, he's got a host of weapons. But if you just, that's mine. Yeah, no, I'm putting that down here. You can't have that. So that when Jesus saw that, he said, the tempter cometh, but he hath nothing in me. Everything he's got, I already got it. I don't need to bow down to you. I already own it. I don't need bread from you. I am the bread of life. You see? He already had brought captive everything. I don't need to bow down to you. That city, that city's mine. And if we ever realize we've got him captive, when you have Christ. And I'll close with this. It's amazing how many ways there is to do something wrong and how few ways there are to do it right. And that's why they have something called instructions. I don't know about you men. I don't like instructions. But if I don't follow the instructions, I always come up with some extra parts. Look, they put too many in the bag or not enough, you know. But they have instructions, and if we don't follow those instructions, Dave and I was talking yesterday, I think it was, about the Holy Ghost, and today I think it was. And the Holy Ghost, my brothers and sisters, it in itself does not save you. And that's that people just think, once they get the Holy Ghost, I'm saved. It in itself does not save you. What the Holy Ghost is a guide. And you know where it guides you to? Where he's already been. Last time I checked, he went to heaven, right? Last time I checked. So if I'm going to take a hunting trip and I'm going to go out to a place I've never been, I like to hire a guide, you know. Take me where you've already been so I don't run in vain. But you be my guide, I'm guaranteed success because you have already been there. So the Holy Ghost, he said, I have many things to tell you, but it's not expedient at this time. But I go away and I send back the Spirit of truth, and it shall lead you and guide you into all truth. You know, not every truth I got this thing in captivity. Not everything, this is all truth, but it's not all of the truth. Did you hear that? This is all truth, but it's not all of the truth. Because there's many things not written in here that says, thou shalt not. It's in here. The Holy Ghost leads me and guides me to truth. The principle of it may be in here, but my heart tells me specifically that's not right. Are you understanding me? So the Holy Ghost in itself is a guide to lead you to salvation. It in itself is not salvation, but without it, you can't be saved. Because you'll never find your way without a guide. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Okay, I'm closing for the third time. The secret of not getting caught by any means is your level of dedication. It's your level. Whenever you dedicate or consecrate something, you set it apart.
and you dedicate your life or whatever it is, people dedicate their children or whatever it is, and when you dedicate your children and you vow to bring them to church, all that, Lord, you better do it. And so when people dedicate something, they put their time and energy in that thing, right? That's why you're dedicated to, oh, I'm dedicated to school. That means I put my time and energy into it, lest by any means somebody say, hey, let's go to the football game. And I say, no, I got to study, you see, because I'm dedicated to that thing. But if I don't watch it, then I'm like, well, I think maybe I'll come back and catch that. We got a test tomorrow, but I think I can handle that and this. And you know what? You can't. So you either have to dedicate to that, lest by any means he would slip a little something in there and mess your level of dedication up. Amen. Let's be dedicated to God. Let's be temperate, as he said, in all things. And if we would ever consecrate our life and our time to God, that's why David said, I meditate upon the Lord day and night. I'm dedicated to God. And I'm here to tell you, I don't own anything. Nothing. I really don't. I've given everything I've got to God. Everything. It's his name that's on it because I gave it to him. He's letting me borrow it, but it's his because I realized how I got it was him. Even when Job had his, so many servants, he had so many camels, he had so many sheep and all this kind of stuff. Then he lost it all in one day. In one day. And then his wife says, why don't you curse God and die? And this is what he said. Naked came I into the world. Naked shall I leave. He says, shall we expect good only at the hands of the Lord and not evil? He said, for it is certain that I came into this world with nothing, and it is certain I shall leave with nothing. So you might as well understand whatever you have is God's. It is God's. So let your level of dedication be on everything that you do. Be dedicated day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the water, bring forth his fruit and seed, and prospereth whatever he does. Amen. Amen. Lest by any means. You're not ignorant to Satan's devices. All preaching does is tries to make you aware of where you're at. That's all it does. Preaching just like the sermon said, wake you up so you can go, Lord, here's where I'm at. I need to change. Would you stand tonight? Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we're thankful tonight. Hallelujah. That you give us your word. Help us, Lord, to always rightly divide the words of truth. Apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we would increase our dedication and our thoughts and bring into captivity everything, Lord, that would be against your will. Hallelujah. And let us possess those things that you want us to possess. Give us the weapons that we need to fight this warfare, not of carnal things, but of spiritual things. Equip us, Lord, as you said, that we've done everything we can do to stand, therefore, on your word. We give you the praise for this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Glad to teach you tonight. Be careful going home. And don't forget to pray for Brother and Sister Douglas.